Real people.
Real celebrities.
Real talk.
Join the Breakfast Club.
Blast off in your
weekday morning, 6 to 10.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got two special guests in the building this morning, Mr. Cedric the Entertainer.
Yes, sir.
And Niecy Nash.
Y'all in here whispering each other like y'all really married.
I feel like they really like each other.
Yeah, it goes down like that. I mean, you know.
But people ask us that all the time because we film the show in front of a live audience, and someone always is like, are y'all really together in real life? No, he got his...
I got a real wife. She got a real husband that's 6'9 or something. Dark and strong.
I'm like, hey, my man.
I do say
all the time that I'm a very lucky girl because I do have the best TV husband ever. Like, I really do. And sometimes I do treat him like he's my real husband on accident. Yeah. I'm like, can you go get them bags out the car?
Is it an accident, though?
Don't treat him too much like your real husband because we read that book. So.
Right, I'm out
oh, not that part of my real husband.
No. That was a great part.
Not that part of my real husband.
Yeah.
You know, you said that you got to give a day to keep the divorce attorney away.
I did say that, and I meant that.
And it just is too bad that it stops when the camera's there. I was just like, man,
Cedric!
It just seemed like it would be, you know, you don't want a book to be just fiction.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Cedric.
Y'all already got good chemistry. How y'all develop that kind of chemistry? Y'all have to do anything sexual to get that, or y'all just...
What is happening right now?
Yeah, we got some great chemistry up here. We all knock each other over?
Well, Charlamagne and Envy have sex occasionally.
Okay, we'll see. Well,
that's a long time
he
ago.
He said, no.
Ain't enough career advancement for me to be having sex with him.
Mercy.
That's cold blood.
No, but congratulations, 4 seasons
on
So Man, and you guys both have so much going on outside of that as well, so I'm sure it's pretty fun to do it in front of a live audience, too.
Yeah, you know, that's what's really dope. I mean, you know, television is starting to make a comeback. You see a lot of African-Americans making a, you know, splash on TV. But, you know, our show is you know, it's been moving along each year on this network. We've been having fun. We're really blessed to be able to come back and do it for a 4th season. So now, you know, we want people to put their eyes on it. It's a fun show. It's, a, you know, it's a unique world about a guy who used to be, you know, a R&B superstar, kind of, you know, think Mace, think Al Green, whatever. And now he, you know, turned to be a minister, and he struggles with the differences of going back and forth. So
you get to sing,
and,
too, which I know you
Yeah,
love.
I sing a little bit on the show.
Oh,
it's all fun. Yeah.
But then I have to say this, when you talk about chemistry, one of the things that was important to me when Cedric first said, you know, will you be my wife in this series, I didn't immediately say yes. The first question I asked is, do we love each other? Because that was what was important to me. Like, do we get to see black love, or is the wife just sassy and the husband is a smart aleck? I just...
You wanted the Cosby Show type thing.
I just wanted real love.
Gotcha.
I just wanted my kids to be able to see a black couple on TV.
They love each other.
They go through what they go through, but you can tell that they love each other.
Gotcha. And you guys are very family-oriented on the show as well. Even with your own family members, it's very supportive.
Exactly.
Yeah, not really popular these days, though. You always find, like, if you don't have ALS or something, you know. Like,
that shot at Empire, sir?
I love Empire, but I'm just saying, like, you gotta have, like, all the social issues.
Some
to
type
be
of dysfunction.
Interesting, you know? Like, you know, it's not. Is everybody really like that? Like, you know, I mean, it's some cool people that live cool lives, and they go along, they get up, they do their jobs, and, you know, they fun, and you love them, they love their families. That's all it is to it.
But with the live element of the show, do y'all ever get scared that a joke won't hit? You know what I mean?
And oh, yeah.
Be like, oh, boo, you know? Because
they make the crowd laugh. That's what the people there for. Laugh right now.
Well, and when you do the show live, though, the reason why I'm not scared is because my TV husband is also a king of comedy. And if something doesn't work in a moment, he gonna pull something out that'll fix it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They allow y'all to ad-lib? I mean, the show's 30 minutes.
Well, it's a live episode. I mean, and when you do our season premiere is live. Everything else we tape, but when you do it live, what you see is what you get. In last season, right in the middle of the show, when we're supposed to be Boyce and Lolly, he said, Niecy, get the dope. And I was like, what is happening right now?
But you know, that I mean, it is that kind of thing with a live audience, you know, and then you're doing the premiere live, like, you know, you're basically on the high wire. You're right out there doing it, yeah. You know, and so you have to trust, you know, that you have to make that audience laugh. You hopefully that if it makes us laugh, it'll make you laugh at home. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, they try to do. But I'm, you know, I take a lot of freedom, because I co-created the show and I'm executive producer. So if it fails, then you know, hey man, it was what I thought would work, and so gotcha. I go with that. You know,
is it hard for you to play a reverend? You ever feel like you might be being blasphemous a little bit?
I mean.
Tell the man the truth.
You know,
what happened?
You know, the thing is that you want to try to play a real person that also has these flaws. So, you know, I know a lot of reverends that are good people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you get to know them up close, you realize they got flaws like regular individuals. So I'm not afraid to go to that part. And so sometimes it does feel like especially in the first season, we got to areas where we felt like it could be a little blasphemous, you know, like, you know, I end up eating some weed cupcakes or something, you know what I'm saying? And you think like, well, you know, like, is that too far? Like, you know, but you know, it's like, you know, I was trying to stop somebody else from being, you know, on drugs or whatever. And it was a choice I made at the time. Like, so, you know, I have a good time feeling cool about myself when you push the envelope or ask a question. Is this spiritually sound? You know what I mean?
I think that's what the show is about. Why are you looking at him like that, Niecy?
Just because I'm just checking this answer, just trying to see where he lands with
he
it.
Comes to because you. No, he because comes to you sometimes and says, "Baby, I think I'm being a little blasphemous."
Well, no, but let's just talk about Cedric for a second, because you know, even like when we're on our church set,
yeah,
you forget.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Punkin, we in the church. Stop cussing. Don't cuss so quick in here. Huh?
But
ratchet it back down.
Cuss words in the Bible.
Cuss words in the Bible. Yeah. Weed was the burning bush.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they say
yeah. Yeah, oh, that's from the book of Charlemagne.
They say you can't find
the God.
Come on, let me catch you.
They say you can't find God in no man-made temple anyway.
All right. I'm with all that.
Now, we've
stuff
heard
right
Niecy's advice on, you know, keeping your man. Now, Cedric, for you being a married man and being on the show, a TV husband, what's your advice for keeping your woman happy?
Well, you know, you have to pay attention. I think, you know, that's the thing about it is to care about your woman, always to, you know, to pay attention, to listen, to talk, to date, to be involved. Mm-hmm. You know, I think these are the things that happens after a while when you're in relationships. You find yourself either taking your own selfish attitudes toward the relationship and you don't really pay attention to your mate. And I've been married, 15 years now. We've been together 18. So it is that process of caring. Like, you have to, sometimes you have to make yourself care. Like, I mean, it's the truth of the matter. Like, relationships, you're like, I don't care what you're talking about.
You sound
really
like
care.
Your homeboy Steve Harvey.
Yeah,
right?
But you got, but you know, but it is, yeah, oh man, I need a book, a deal, and a show. That's my dog right there. He got 100 things going on.
We loved your role on Top 5.
Oh, yeah. Now, see that character right there. Movie. You like that?
Look, yeah.
That character had nothing to do with no reverend.
Nothing. No, it was some praise going on around there. But that character, that was fun. And, I like the opportunity, like, in to be off there, like, in a haunted house with that, just to do these wild characters that's off the chain that you just, you know, you can dive out of that kind of normal, easygoing Cedric mode that people like, yo, Ced, just easy and cool. Like, I'll do some wild stuff. I'll be Charlemagne. I got a Charlemagne inside me.
Oh, that character in Top 5, that was me when I used to be a promoter. In South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, it's 100
of them.
It's 100. Everybody who's done this, like, you go around, you know these guys. They can promise you the world. They all believe
it's
they
my
can do it. I got this. Whatever you need, son.
Who wants to be a millionaire? What happened with that? You didn't want to do it? You got tired? Money
well, you
light?
Know, when they changed it, you know, the thing was that they moved the show to Connecticut. So, you know, when it was here in New York, it was really, you know, it was advantageous to me to be here, to be in the city, to be able to do other business and do the show, and we had some great opportunities here. When they moved it to Connecticut, it was just one of those situations where it wasn't going to work. It was you're there 3 to 4 months. And I got small kids. I mean, I live in L.A., and it just wasn't conducive to be, like, in Connecticut for 4 months. That really put you out of the loop. So I passed on it. And they were shrinking the show. I think they were actually trying to, you know, either, you know, wrap it up or whatever. So they were shrinking the show. They were bringing down everything. So all the producers I came to the show with, that'd be like, you know, all y'all guys, they was bringing in a whole new crew, and it was just me. So I was like, nah, I don't want to do that.
Now, both of y'all know how to keep a check. Right?
Yeah, man.
And recently, Lee Daniels said, you know, you got to know how to play the game.
Yeah.
Is that true? Do you really have to know how to play the game? Because y'all stay working.
Well, you know, I have a lot of jobs. And I don't know necessarily about that I keep them by playing the game. But I do understand what he meant by, you know, there is a show and there is a part of it that is a business. For me, I guess my own thing I try to do is to diversify. I want all my stuff to be different. Mm. Like, I love playing Cedric's wife on a show. Then I do my job on HBO, which is so very different from that job, which is getting on. I just did Selma.
That's the Mindy Project, right?
Yeah,
You were a lesbian on there, ain't you?
I was a lesbian on the Mindy Project.
No.
And then I did Knock It Off. I was also in the historical drama Selma. Let me bring it back up. I was in Selma.
Very diverse.
And I'm about to start a new project with Ryan Murphy called Scream Queens. So I like all of everything that kind of, and y'all know I'm an author because you talked about my book, but I like to just try different things. But this is part of the business that is the business and not the show. You know, coming around and promoting and, you know, it's a part of it.
What about you, Cedric? You
got to
play that game?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a part of it. I mean, you know, for a long time. And it was a couple of different things during that argument. Like, I thought that they both had, you know, valid points to what they were talking about. But, you know, the one thing that, Monique, that resonated with me was the idea of going to con and, you know, you have to go to promote. But the expectation that you're supposed to do these things when you really participate in such a small part of a movie. Like, I mean, and it, you know, I think that it's important to be able to go and promote, but when you're an artist, you're a creative person, you got a life, you got a lot of things that you do. When asked to do things that are, like, beyond the scope of what the contract is, then where's the opportunity in it for me? I get it. Like, yeah, I love the idea of going to con. I get that, but it's going to cost me money to do this. Like, gotcha. this is going to cost me time to do this, and if it's not valuable to you, then, and I, you know, I ran into a situation like that on Barbershop 2, and so we made a different kind of deal. But you have to make sure that your message is understood with the people and not coming off as something that, you know, I just want something. But I get her point. I get that, like, man, we work hard. You just don't expect me to change everything and then, you know, and then go, well, you just didn't play the game. You
is
didn't
this
play
something
the game.
That should put in people's contracts now? You think?
Well, you would think, yeah. I mean, certain artists, they do that. I mean, you know, and you learn from other people, like the international aspect, like Will Smith, you know, he taught all of us that you got to go out there and promote your movie internationally and get it known. It's important for you to become a brand internationally. So there is a sacrifice to that. And sometimes it's going to cost you. Like, but again, if you Will Smith, you can afford to do that. If you make it $50,000 on the movie, that's a different choice. Like, right. You like, I don't know about that move right
so,
there.
So
like,
if we don't see you in Barbershop 3, it's because you was difficult to work with in Barbershop 2?
Damn right. Yeah.
Are they doing a 3? Are you in it?
They doing a 3. We close. We close.
They calling.
Soon as I negotiate my Cannes Film Festival trip, I'm going to be clear. I'm making that the move right now. That's my whole move about my international travel.
Now, okay. Niecy, I got to ask you, Felicia Rashad, they just did an article about how she's coming back to TV, and she's going to be playing a lesbian FBI agent in a new series. It's called
Felicia
For
Rashad?
Justice. Yeah. As in Claire Huxtable.
Why everybody got to be lesbian now?
Now some people are asking, is this going to ruin her legacy as Mrs. Huxtable? What do you think about all these characters on TV now? You know, I see a lot of people talking about, oh, why there's so many gay characters on television?
You know what? First of all, to answer the first question, no, I don't think it's going to ruin her legacy. I think she's an artist.
Yeah.
I mean, and as an artist, you can't say every role I'm going to do, I'm going to be America's mom. and that's the only thing I'm going to do. That would be so narrow and so limp. That's like an artist only doing, you know, the same song all the time. It's just like, come on. You know what I mean? Like, you want new music, you want new material, because that feeds us as an artist. So, no, I don't think that's going to affect her career in any sort of negative way. And I just think that art imitates life. And now we're living in a day and age where it's, you know, becoming more socially acceptable to stand in your truth and be who you are. And people want to see themselves represented on television.
Right.
So I think that's the reason why.
Yeah, I don't mind the gay roles as long as, like, they're gay for a reason. Not just gay just because you want gay people to watch your show.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, the gay cop or gay attorney.
Well, there's a whole network. Remember Logo? They had a whole network that was just dedicated for gay programming.
And you know she's going to do it with a degree of dignity. I mean, she's just, you know, she's just that kind of person in her natural character. So, but the ideology of recognizing that this could be a real person, that this is somebody who out there lives is true. Felicia as an actress and, a, you know, a great artist, she's going to be able to deliver that. Now, if she get into some real hot lesbian stuff, then...
Cedric. You know,
Cedric.
Is that too much? too much to think about?
Now, we have a lesbian role. Your husband...
Flays look like Claire Huxtable.
Cedric!
From Houston, Texas. Like Claire Huxtable.
I want you to stop right now.
Come on, man.
That's vintage vagina.
Just for
though.
A minute. Just
that's Claire Huxtable. That's mom.
Man, Felicia Rashad is vintage vagina,
come on,
vagina,
Andy.
Man.
Come on. Mom. Roll with me, though.
That's
let's just for
anything
a second.
That's 40 and up, that's aging like wine, vintage
it's too
vagina.
Much. You don't want to do it.
That's mom.
You think it would be different, Cedric, if it's like you and Steve Harvey doing a game?
Oh, my God. Oh, that's just unacceptable.
What happened? Them tables turned real quick, didn't they?
You can't do that.
So you've got a 90-day rule.
Yeah, right. That alone. That's already weird. Then, you know, the mustache getting all on it. That's too much.
But when you played your role, did your husband say, all right, you know, this is a little different. I like the role. Bring some ladies into the bedroom.
No, he did not. My husband didn't even know that. He knew I was a lesbian, but he didn't know that Mindy and I were going to kiss on the show. So when he watched it for the first time and then he saw the kiss, he sat straight up in the bed and then he looked at me and then he looked back at the TV and then he looked at me like, and then he was like, oh, so that's how you feel? And I'm like, but you act like, I said I was just acting. It's like you didn't walk into the bedroom and catch me kissing a woman. It was a scene. And he was like, oh, yeah.
That's light.
And he was just looking, you know, but I mean, I guess it's different when it's your rib.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can watch TV and see anybody do whatever. Yeah. But like, you know, his wife had to see Top 5. Or did your wife see you in Top 5?
Yeah, she wouldn't look at it.
She wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
Top 5, you had see. Two chicks at me.
Yeah, so chicks. It's different when. Right. And it's different when it's your person and you feel a little like, you know, well, wait a minute.
Was Mindy like, did you give a. This morning, and we're about to kiss. Or
no, actually, Mindy said to me, shut up, Cedric.
Angela Yee, that was classic.
Actually, she said to me after the first time I kissed her, she was like, oh, my God, you're a really great kisser, and I can do so much better on this next... I've had them for a long time, so I know what to do. So she just wanted to challenge herself to be a better kisser. So I was like, okay, but it's cool. It doesn't really matter how you kiss. It's,
so you
know.
Taught her some tricks.
There you go.
Nisi, is it true that you and Sherry Shepherd once went to go key Cat Williams car? Because Cat Williams stood up.
Set you up on a date, yeah. Set up on a date.
Okay. Here's the thing. the short answer is yes, but...
So you feel bad now knowing Cat Williams don't show up for much of nothing?
You know what, but the thing we did... But I was the voice of reason, though.
Okay.
Because I was like, wait a minute. You know what I mean? Because she is the one person in real life who I would call if I needed bail money. Mm-hmm. I'm the person she would call.
Gotcha.
If we both in this together,
right.
We ain't gonna make it. Right. Somebody ain't gonna make it home tonight. Mm-hmm. So I was like, wait a minute. You know, I did talk her out of it. But yeah, you heard about that?
Yeah. How far did y'all get? To his house?
Come on, let's move on. What else? That wasn't
out.
One of our brighter moments.
now, Cedric's barber battle.
Yeah.
Why do they always want you in the barbershop? Man, I hope you know how to cut hair for real.
I don't know how to cut hair at all, you know what I mean? But it's just one of those, you know, I think, you know, from the movies, from the barbershop movie, it was always that, you know, it's one of those, the real black country club. Like, it's a place where we go, where we hang out. It's just really an identifiable spot of a place where there's a lot of social issues discussed, where it's the freedom to be whoever you want to be, to have a different, you know, type of opinion about the life and everything. So, you know, in this world, it never really been, like, you know, I mean, of course, with all the reality shows, it never really been captured. So, but a lot of these guys, like tattoo artists, they just really talented nowadays. They have a real skill set. They talk a gang of stuff. They own many of subject matters, and we thought this would be a real cool place to go in and create a reality series where you see guys that can really cut hair and get down, you know, talk a little trash, have a good time. And so we thought, you know, and these barber battles are real. They're out there, you know, all around the country. They have them every, you know, every weekend, cats showing their skills. And so we thought we try to capture and put it on television. So we look forward to doing that on CW on April 17th.
Was that something you brought to them?
They actually came to me. The producers came to me with it early, and then I helped develop it. So you know, EPing it, and then you know, shaping it and turn it into a show. So we did that. It took you know, over a year to really kind of get it, you know, shaped up and everything. So we were happy with it. We came to New York. We've done a lot of them here, Harlem and Queens. Then we went over to Jersey. That was hot. You know, a lot of real dope barbers all around, man.
Are you ever just talent anymore? Are you just always like EP?
You know, only like on the movies, like, gotcha. You know, like in the movies. But most of the time I try to consult. I try to, you know, make sure that I can, you know, have an opinion on, you know, what it is that I'm trying to say or do in the project. So I usually EP them search of the time.
The thing about him is that he really knows his business.
Y'all, you
know,
together.
What?
Y'all, you finishing his sentence or something? Mm-hmm. No. Y'all
don't get them in trouble at home.
You
with
know
them.
What?
Bill and Felicia wasn't like this.
No, well, listen, I want you to knock it off. You know, his wife is kind of from the hood, and I don't need no problem.
I'm not trying to get cut.
Okay. Everybody settle down. No, but I look up to Cedric so much because I watch him leading our show, and he's just so smart about it. It's not like, you know, somebody put their name on something. You just saying something. Make that black instead of brown. You know, you're just like, oh, my God, will this guy knock it off? But he's really not that guy. So because he is smart, it does make sense. And he knows the business side of the show as well. So it makes sense.
Now, who's the diva in the bunch? You guys got to do a lot of press. Who's the diva? Who takes the longest? Who's the hardest to work with? Who?
Honestly, we don't.
This morning you were here first. Cedric was after you.
But you know what? I don't think we really have a diva. We do have people who are time challenged.
Okay.
Huh.
You know, blame it on your blackness, Cedric. It's okay.
I'm very dark. I don't even. I don't deny that.
CP time is like, a real thing.
It's real. It's real. It's a part of my DNA.
Yeah. So, but I don't really think we have. Do you feel like we have a diva?
No. I mean, it's a very very cool set. I
if think you
that's
think it's
idea.
Me, you could be honest.
No. You know, you're amazing. You know, you have great energy. You know, you have, you know, she's always bright in the morning, a lot of love. She comes in. She makes everybody feel the same way, like on the set, like all, you know, and I mean, this is like camera crew, light grips, everybody. She's very loving like that. And I think that, you know, that's the attitude that we try to have. So you don't really get a lot of like temper tantrums or somebody just, you know, flexing a, mm-hmm. you know, and she could, like, she got a lot of shows going on and a lot of things, you know, you'd be like, well, you know, you could be flexing if you needed to.
Like,
but,
I was
you know,
Selma,
but,
thank you very much.
Yeah.
But, when she starts flexing, but, just replace it like the Fresh Prince mama.
See that? Just go upstairs, come back, you're like, what the hell? Aw,
yeah. No. Don't do that.
Ain't that the girl from, they be coming up with some old show. The girl that used to be with LL Cool J. Ain't that her?
Now, Nisa, you came to the defense of our Zendaya. Zendaya.
Oh,
how you
yes.
pronounce her name?
Zendaya.
Yeah.
I did.
How did you feel about Juliana's apology? And did you think her comments were like racist, or you just?
It was very ill-fitting. But what I did think was that I love Zendaya's response, and I just said that, you know, hopefully this will educate, inform, and enlighten moving forward, because some people don't. You know, you do have some people who are, you know, very blatant in how they feel. And you have some that think, oh, I think that's okay because of the, you know, whether it's the music I listen to or the people I hang around, that I could say this and it's okay. Mm-hmm. And you were not necessarily trying to be malicious, but you were out of order. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just need a polite check. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what that email was, just kind of like a... Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of like a polite check.
Yeah, I think whenever you can just tell when people have been watching Fox News and then they get on their real job, they just say it's some Fox News stuff. You don't even know. You're like, what the hell did that come from? Because Juliana, she cool people. But that was like one of them remarks that just came from my, like, you like, well, what you talking about right now? You know, mm-hmm. So I think, you know, that it needed to be corrected. And I thought the young lady did a great job responding to her. And, you know, I don't know about the apology, but, you know.
What about when they say it's just comedy? Because you're a comedian.
You were not. I mean, you know, she's not a comedian. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if it was a comedian saying it, you might go, all right, cool. Comedians will push a button and be saying things just for, the, you know, the purposes of it. But
if it was funny.
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. And sometimes, you know, funny misses. But, you know, again, but if you're a comedian, you know that that's the part of the brain that's working when you try something and it may miss. Gotcha. You know what I mean? But you, when you're not a comedian, that's like, you know, you're a commentator. You're a person that's, like, on the red carpet commentating. You know what I mean? Gotcha. Reporting. Like, that's a bit bold to take that shot.
Is there anything off limits when you're doing comedy? Is there anything that you won't go or won't talk about?
Not necessarily. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, I think you have to be free as a comedian. That was something I remember, you know, coming up early, like people used to think I didn't curse at all. And my mom used to, you know, she would come to my shows and then she, you know, my mother's a school teacher. So she used to always try to get me to use my words and language and all these mm-hmm. things. But, you know, whenever I felt like I needed to say something that had a curse word in it or the way that it felt, the way I felt about it, I just like, you got to be free to say that. Like you just, so sometimes you can push a joke, subject matter, you can say things that may be beyond the scope, but I like those kind of comedians. Like, I mean, I like people that go over the edge and push the button to the other way. So, you know, I think that comedy, you had to be that free. That's why you have people like Chris Rock that, you know, they push the envelope along. You know, people like Cat Williams, and you're like, you extremely funny dude. Like, and he says it his own way. You know what I'm saying? So the identification of being able to say, all right, cool, this is my voice, this is the way I want to say it. You know, then you have a right as a person to go, I don't really like that. That's not my taste or whatever. But
did you ever get any real backlash when you said Martin Luther King was a hoe?
Yeah, that was probably one of the most controversial times that I had as a comedian, you know, dealing with that, you know, because all the civil rights, Jesse Jackson called me in my house.
No, man.
I was like, really? Who is this? Oh, Cedric. Oh, this is Jesse. I'm like, man, how you get this number? You know?
What did you say? Did you feel like you had to explain yourself?
Well, you know, I mean, and he had a valid point, which I thought was really great. He was like, the thing about this is that when you put something out like that, whatever you say, you got to remember that these films are going beyond, you know, this kind of core audience that you think you're performing for. And that, so it's going to Brazil, it's going to all these other countries, and they could take excerpts of that and manipulate it and then show them just that. Like, mm-hmm. So you had a whole generation of kids growing up, not off the I Have a Dream speech, but off of Martin Luther King was a hoe. Like, that's the part that they're going to teach them. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that was his point. I accepted that, as validation. And I, you know, also said, you know, as an artist and as a person that was just doing this character, that's what that character's point of view was. And I mean, I understand the controversy, and I think that you have to take your argument up with MGM.
But they showed, they kind of exposed it in Selma a little bit.
Yeah.
Martin was getting it in. He was getting his rig on.
Well, I mean, that was the part about it that, you know, again, you know, people, you don't want to live with the truth when you iconize somebody. You don't want to necessarily take away from the fact that they are this icon and they're this great person on one level, and then that they are an individual and a human being on another level. And so these are the things that you do have to be careful of, you know. But, you know, I think that, you know, as artists, and when you're doing art, you have to have the freedom to tell the truth as you see it. So, you know, when people want to show these aspects of it and understand that that is a part of who is, what his legacy is, then you can decide if that was enough to validate, you know, or devalue him as a human being. Like, you know, like all the greatness that he did, because, you know, he also liked girls, like a lot of them, like, you know, all right, you know,
I don't see nothing wrong with it. I'm a man. I get it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that story is true for a lot of pastors, but, you know, you try to live in that place to cover mm-hmm. that. But then you do have some that are like, you know, here are my bullet holes and my stab wounds. This is the life I lived and, you know, that kind of thing. But probably it probably resonated even more because he wasn't the one who was owning it. You know, somebody else was telling his truth. Right. So it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing about that when you, because it's all in hindsight, you know, it's right. after the fact, and he's passed on. He don't have any defense of this thing that people go like, "Yo, we got the tapes, and this what happened, this what you did." You're like, "Well, I could have an argument for that if I needed to, but you know, I guess or not, you know."
So as a reverend, your character on Soul Man gonna be cheating on Niecy soon?
Hell no. I ain't trying to get beat up.
I'm like, we really married, Cedric?
No, y'all
got some energy between y'all. I mean, it works for the show, though.
It works for the show. My husband is not in entertainment at all, and the best compliment he gave me, he just was like, you know, I love you, and you and Cedric have such a great chemistry together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, thank you. Then he touched my arm very strongly and said, on camera.
There you go.
And I was like, right.
See what I'm saying?
He just testing you.
Right. You got to pop up sometime when y'all came and just pop up just to see.
What? Don't he do that?
Oh,
he
man.
Oh, man.
What do you do when you pop up, Seth?
Bro.
What's up, Doc? Jay cool, he cool as that. He cool as a fan, though, to be honest, though. But, you know, but I be playing with Niecy a lot. And I remember one day I was playing with her. I was like, yo, we was like doing this whole lovey place thing. And it was like maybe about 10 minutes later, he looked on the set. I was like, oh, man, that would have been horrible.
Your wife don't ever pop up?
Yeah, my wife pop up too. She's super. She like a cat. My wife's so quiet.
She's very stealth.
She pop up and be gone, and they be like, "Your wife was here." I was like, "Oh hell no, what she see?"
Is there rules and parameters though, as married couples? Like when you're playing a married role, is it rules and parameters in your real relationship? Like, all right, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this.
Well, I guess everybody is different, you know. But for me. And mine, you know what I mean? If I don't have to kiss another actor with tongue, if it really don't call for that, then I don't do it just because it's a kiss. You know what I mean? That's kind of like the only thing in my situation.
No tongue.
No, I mean, not if I don't have,
if you don't have to.
I mean, yeah.
Well, Cedric was skeeting on women all in the bedroom in Top 5, so I guess that was a lot of skeet. Parameters.
Yeah, I asked my wife, is this cool? I'm going to have to skeet on these girls.
She knew what that was? She knew
that. I don't skeet, man.
I got skeet on these hoes, baby.
Look, this is, and it's just in the script. Look, here it is.
Skeet.
I didn't write it.
That ain't even me. I'm just acting, but you cool with this?
Well, March 18th, TV Land, The Soul Man returns for the fourth season. We appreciate you guys for joining us.
Thank y'all, man.
Cedric the Entertainer, Niecy Nash.
Yep.
Yeah.
Breakfast Club, good morning.
Yep.